Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to come to the house of God and be reminded of the principles of God. There is very little in the world today to help us think right and go right for God. And while we want to read our Bibles every day, it is good to come together and open His Word together and discuss the Word of God and listen to others teach and exhort. It helps wash our minds from the contamination and wrong thinking that we may have picked up through the week, and to be washed again in the Word of God and His truth. May the presence of the Lord continue to grace this service as we continue to look into His Word. You may open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and thinking of a phrase here in verse 5. In 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 5, it says here, "For this they willingly are ignorant." Now, I was given the title for a subject in another congregation, The Danger of Being Willingly Ignorant. And I was thinking about that coming up here in a few weeks. And I was thinking about that and thought, well, maybe we could study that out and preach on that subject here this morning. So the title before us is The Danger of Being Willingly Ignorant. Verse 5 here talks about a people who willingly are ignorant. And we like to read the first verses of 2 Peter chapter 3 and just notice the thoughts surrounding this statement. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And we could read some more there, but I think that gives us the setting and where we find this phrase of people who are willingly ignorant. The first two verses, we notice the purpose of Peter writing. He was, if you go front to the first chapter, you'll notice that it was written to those that obtained like precious faith with us. That's who it's written to. It was written to the children of God, to God's people, as a warning. It says, I'm writing this to you to stir up your minds and help you to remember some things, and that you would be mindful of the words that were spoken. We talked earlier here about having our minds washed from wrong thinking, and that's why Peter was writing this epistle, so that he could, and just in case they were getting influenced by some wrong thinking, he was writing to them to help wash their minds again in right thinking. It's obvious that Peter saw a danger. The title here is The Danger of Being Willingly Ignorant. And he saw a danger here, and so he wrote this to warn them of this danger. In verse 3 and 4, I think we have the danger exposed. Pretty much the danger of what this whole chapter is revolving around. And that is that there will be scoffers in the last days, he says. There shall be scoffers. What's a scoffer? Well, it's one that jeers and mocks and derides. Dictionary says, showing scorn or contempt as a manifestation of doubt and cynicism. He said there would be scoffers, there would be people who would jeer and mock and deride and show scorn and contempt about future judgment, the coming of the Lord. There would be men like back in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot told his sons-in-law to get out of the city. There's going to be judgment coming. They said, seemed like one that mocked to them. I suppose he just sort of laughed at Lot for his funny notion. They mocked at the idea that of the coming of the Lord and judgment. That's what Peter is saying is going to happen again. It's going to be like those men in Sodom who didn't think it would happen. And the basis for their contempt and their scoffing is based on some reasoning. And we notice that how their reasoning flowed there in verse 4. They say, where's the promise of his coming? This is how their reasoning went. All things since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just like ever since the creation. You know, what are you talking about? That's the basis of their scoffing, because of the way they thought, the way they reasoned things through. Nothing's changed, and so they walk after their own lust. That's the purpose of their reasoning anyway. That's so that they felt like that's license for them to live as they please, to live after the base dictates of the flesh, because they had convinced themselves that they could get away with it. No coming judgment. What do you mean? They scoff at the idea of a judgment that's coming. And so they've convinced themselves that they can get away with it. They laugh at the suggestion of a holy God, of morals, and vengeance on ungodliness. I mean, after all, people have lived like this for many years and nothing bad happened to them. Lightning didn't strike them down dead or, you know, something like that. And they just, ha-ha, the preachers, you know, who for many generations have been preaching the return of the Lord and the end of the world. Why, they've been doing that for generations, saying it could happen today, and it didn't happen. And added to that, you had some people and groups who even set dates that came and went. And here we are still today, it didn't happen. And so they reason there's nothing to it. And they mock, and they jeer, and they show contempt for the very idea. But wait, they have missed an important truth. I think, as I read these verses, that is the crux of the matter here, of being willingly ignorant. They missed an important truth in verse 5 and 6. They forgot, willingly, that things didn't just continue as they were from the creation. They willingly ignored the fact that God had brought a flood, and it rained, and it destroyed the earth. In verse 6 it says, being overflowed, the world then was being overflowed with water, and it perished, everything in it except for Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. Everything else perished. They are willingly ignorant of that fact. They deliberately eliminated that truth from their frame of mind, their reasoning. They could have thought as well, I mean, really, the people of the last days could have thought as well of the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think history even would bear that out, that there was a place like that if they dig around. They forget that as well, that Sodom and Gomorrah, those people didn't think it could happen either. They forget that truth. They're willingly ignorant and deliberately put that truth out of their mind as well. They didn't think it could happen. They laughed at the idea, but it did happen. Sodom and Gomorrah did face the judgment of God. In verse 9, we notice another fact that these scoffers are missing, and that is that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. They are missing the fact that whenever God has said something, it happened. They are willingly ignorant of that. What did God ever promise that didn't come to pass? Always came to pass. It might have went hundreds of years. It might have went 1,000 years. It might have gone 2,000 years. How many years was it from the promise in Genesis about this seed of the woman coming and bruising the head of the serpent? How many years did it go till that happened? What do you think, 4,000 years, something like that? And so people get the idea that, well, it's not going to happen because all these years rolled around. But that's another truth that they are ignorant of. Here are two important facts that they deliberately eliminated from their thinking patterns. You say, well, how could they be so blind as to not think about that? Well, the fact is, they were willingly ignorant. That's what it says in verse 5. They are willingly ignorant. The word willing here means to choose or prefer, to delight in, voluntary. Okay? They chose to be ignorant. They preferred to be ignorant. They want to be, they choose to be ignorant. The word ignorant means unaware, lacking knowledge. They deliberately chose to be unaware and to lack this knowledge. The problem was not the fact that they had grown up in a heathen land where the truth was not taught. That's not the problem. Oftentimes, the people that grow up in ignorance against their will are more open to the truth and more receptive to the truth than folks that grow up with the truth and are willingly ignorant. And you know, isn't that true? Go down to the Philippines, and the Philippine missions are busy as they take the gospel back in the jungles to these various tribes. Come again. We want to hear more. The brethren and sisters are busy down there because there's such an openness. They are not willingly ignorant. They're ignorant because they had no choice. But try and take the gospel to North America, and what do you have? Willing ignorance has been a problem with man down through history. Pharaoh said, I know not the Lord. Why didn't he know the Lord? He didn't want to know the Lord, did he? God was trying to reveal himself to him through his people, but he didn't want to know the Lord. He had plenty of opportunity to get to know the Lord through Moses and all the miracles that happened. Why, he should have understood, but he hardened his heart. He had a problem. He was willingly ignorant. He didn't know the Lord because he didn't want to know the Lord. Well, then we have King Ahab and his messengers in 1 Kings. And there's just a number of accounts in the Old Testament of people like this. And these weren't heathens either. Now, Pharaoh was. But many, many times in the history of God's people, you have God trying to educate his people, and they did not want it. They refused to receive it. They were willingly ignorant. And this is just one example of it. In 1 Kings 22, I guess here what we have, the setting of the king of Judah and the king of Israel together, making this agreement to go to fight the enemy together. And the king of Judah said to the king of Israel, well, you know, maybe we should ask of the Lord whether this is the thing to do. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. All right, well, yeah, I guess we can do that. So the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand, the hand of the king. 400 prophets he had rallied around himself. But something didn't seem right to King Jehoshaphat. It seemed like he had a little bit more respect for truth yet. And something, even these 400 men, there's something about this that didn't ring clear to him. In verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? Why another one after he had 400 men? That we might inquire of him? Yeah, king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why did he hate him? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. You see, the king of Israel had a problem. Ahab had a problem. He had fallen into this danger of being willingly ignorant. In verse 13, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them, and speak that which is good. You see, they were not interested. Why even inquire of the Lord if you're not interested with an open face to receive what he gives? But, you know, that's part of the deception of being willingly ignorant. Why did they even inquire of the Lord? Why even, you know, you have that today? At what, you know, but there's some kind of, I don't know, security of hearing the right thing, or why even go to church if you're not going to be open to what God has and go there with an open desire to know what God wants to teach us? Micaiah told him the truth. So this is how it's going to be, and he didn't appreciate it, of course. Ahab had a problem. He was willingly ignorant of the truth. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, this problem followed God's people on through history into Jesus' day. Matthew 13, 15, Jesus said, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What was the problem? They didn't want to understand. They were afraid to understand. They didn't want their eyes opened, lest next they would be converted. They didn't want to be converted, lest they would be healed. They didn't want healing. And so the safest place was to be willingly ignorant. It's like building a shell around them. They didn't want to know the truth about their spiritual condition. They didn't want to know the truth about Jesus. They had their world to put together. They had their program put together. They felt pretty good in their program. And to open their hearts to what Jesus was bringing into the truth would have just shattered their world apart. And so, willing ignorance. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's prophetic. Do we have that today? We have a people here who were willingly ignorant. I think we have a real problem in North America today with willing ignorance. You can go in about any village and city today and you'll have at least one church, churches in many cases. Kutztown is not all that big, but Kutztown has, I'm not sure how many churches, about three right along Main Street and another one off to the side over here, and there's another one up down on the other end of Main Street, and probably five churches or six maybe, probably six. I just thought of another one right in Kutztown. What do they have there? I suppose they have a Bible, you know. Maybe it's not King James Version anymore, but there they have a Bible. But the people go there and they come back out again, and what have they learned? Have they learned the truth? We think about this nation and how the Bible has been freely printed for years and has been taught for many years. And we think about the tremendous opportunity to know the truth in North America. Why, there is nothing to keep us from knowing the truth in North America. But where are the people today who want to know? And I think this is something for us to think about. How have we come here this morning? Have we come here, or when we open the scriptures in our personal Bible reading, do we approach the scriptures, do we approach the preaching of the word with the desire to know the truth? Where are the preachers and the parishioners today who are saying, we want to know. We want to know the truth about divorce and remarriage. We want to know the truth about jewelry and makeup. We want to know the truth about Halloween and Santa Claus and Easter bunnies. We want to know the truth about lying in all its shades. We want to know the truth about how to be saved. We want to know the truth about it, what it means to be on the narrow way that leads to life. We want to know the truth about discipleship and what it costs and means. We want to know the truth about the love of money, the love of the world. We want to know the truth about sin and its wages and hell. We want to know the truth. Where are those people today? Where are the preachers and the parishioners who are coming together on a Sunday morning and have that kind of a desire? Well, thank God, I'm sure there's many around yet. But the scenario is not good when you look across the board, you know, at the large picture of North America. The sad fact today is that the majority are simply satisfied to live in ignorance. Sure, they might go to church every other Sunday or every Sunday, but they don't want to know the truth. They're not coming there with a desire to learn and to let God work in their lives. This verse here in Job chapter 21, verse 14 stood out to me. I don't know if I ever came across this before, but it's so typical of human nature. Job 21, verse 14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, we wouldn't say that. People wouldn't say that. Tell God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Sure, there's a lot of people that would say that. The atheist and downright anti-God person would say that. But the people that go to church probably wouldn't say that. But that's about the way it is. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Why? We ask the question, why are the majority of people satisfied to live in ignorance? Well, I guess I've alluded to this already. Truth and facts and reality are often very painful. That's why. They can be very life-disturbing. They can make some deep demands on our lifestyle. Like the rich young ruler who had a need in his life, and he sensed that need apparently very keenly, because one day he came running to Jesus and he kneeled down before Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing may I do that I may inherit eternal life? Apparently he sensed he did not possess eternal life. And you know the story. How Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect, then you sell out, give the proceeds to the poor, and come take up your cross and follow me. Life-changing? Indeed. Very life-changing. He made a choice that day. He turned his back on Jesus and walked away. I wonder if that young man wished that he would have not come and asked that question. He would have rather been willingly ignorant. He wished he could have gone back to the ignorance he had before he asked that question, because now it was very plain to him, and he didn't want to do it. Now he couldn't hide behind his shell, his veneer, his supposed ignorance, because Jesus had plainly told him, this is what it's going to take for you to have eternal life. We have here the reason that man in general wants to be ignorant, because somehow knowledge makes him accountable, at least that's how he feels. And like was mentioned here, truth and facts and reality are often very painful, and it was that way for this man. And we can become afraid of what it would require of us. And so rather than to ask the question the way the rich young man did, people would rather go on in ignorance. Don't even ask God. Don't even expose yourself to truth. Somehow, man convinces himself that if he can remain in this ignorance, that everything will turn out all right in the end. Is that so? John chapter 3, verse 19. Have these people that don't want the lights, like Jesus had told there in Matthew, those verses we had read. In John 3, verse 19, this is the condemnation, Jesus says, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here you have the difference. Who a person who really fears God and wants to know the truth, so that he can really be justified in the eyes of God, and the person who doesn't want to be knowledgeable. He loves darkness, Jesus said. He doesn't like the light. He loves darkness. Men love darkness. Men love ignorance, not light, because light brings knowledge and understanding of their wickedness, of their evil ways. And people do not want to change their evil ways, and so they prefer to live in the dark. But Jesus said, this is the condemnation. Jesus had told the Pharisees, if I would not have taught you things, I'm putting it in my own words as it comes to me, if I would not have taught things that no other man taught, you would not have had sin. But now you have no cloak for your sin. I'm telling you the truth, Jesus said, and you can't hide in ignorance anymore. Yes, in times past, God winked at their ignorance, but not today anymore. God revealed himself through Jesus Christ in the pages of his word, gave man the truth. And there is no excuse anymore for ignorance, especially us of North America who have Bibles. The great danger, the peril, the jeopardy, a willing ignorance does not change the facts or the truth. That's the great danger. That's the great peril. Think about Pharaoh. Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Neither will I. But he did. Yes, he did. He obeyed the Lord against his will very much. Whether he knew the Lord or not, whether he was ignorant or not, he lost his army, and Egypt was destroyed. God judged Egypt. God judged Pharaoh. King Ahab, although he desired to remain in ignorance, was killed in battle, just like God said it would be. Just because he desired to stay in ignorance didn't change truth one inch. Sodom was destroyed, even if they wanted to be in ignorance, or were in ignorance about it. And it seemed like an idle tale. It was destroyed. It did not change truth. The Jews, when the prophet Jeremiah and how many of the other prophets preached to Israel back in Jerusalem and said that you're going to be, a lot of bad things were going to happen to them. And the one king, he just cut the pages out of the word of God, the message of God, and burned them in the fire. He just thought if he could burn the pages, they would change. But it didn't. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his prophets. They misused his prophets. It says there, I guess they thought if they could steal the prophet's voice, somehow they'd come out all right. But whether they did that or not, judgment came. Jerusalem was burned. People were killed. Some were carried off to Babylon. And Jerusalem was destroyed. The walls were broken down. Yes, willing ignorance is no shelter at all. I suppose the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Why? Was he willingly ignorant? He obviously was a Jew. And he probably was willingly ignorant of the truth, hiding behind the fact that he was a child of Abraham. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, talks about Satan coming with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What happens to those kind of people? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's serious business. Chapter 1, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that were ignorant of God. that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is all under the part of the great danger, the great peril, is that ignorance will not change the facts and truth, especially to those who had the opportunity to know. Now, God does not want us to be ignorant of the truth. We'll go back here to 2 Peter chapter 3, in those verses we read. In verse 8, he says, "Beloved, be not ignorant." You see, and this is the appeal of God to his people. Beloved, be not ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant. He says, don't be ignorant about the way God measures time. Just because God doesn't measure time the way we do doesn't mean that we ought to throw things out. Don't be ignorant. God measures time different than what we do. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, of the fact that you were grafted in. God did away with the natural tree, cut it off, and you were grafted in. Don't forget that you were grafted in. Don't be ignorant of that. I want you to know that. Don't be high-minded. Be humble about your position in Christ and being a part of his kingdom. Don't be ignorant of the fact that you were grafted in. It'll help you to think right, this mystery, lest you become wise in your own conceits and lift yourself up above the Jews. Don't be ignorant of the fact that your standing with God is based on his grace through faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and they had all this good experience, and yet God was not pleased with them when they sinned." Don't be ignorant of what happened in history. Let history teach you. Don't be ignorant. Learn from the failures of others, he says there. Chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And then he gives the understanding of how the Spirit gives different gifts to different brethren and sisters in the church to do his work, and how every part is needed, and the body, each member of the body is all needed, and they all are codependent, and they're to work together and all fill their place. He says, I want you to understand that. Don't be ignorant of that. And yet it seems many people are. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." There it's worded a little different, but it's the thought of that God does not want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He does not want us to be ignorant of the way Satan works to try and deceive us and trip us up and miss our crown. Don't be ignorant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Here he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the afterlife of the Christian. I want you to understand this. I don't want you ignorant. Don't be ignorant about what's going to happen after death for the child of God once our understanding opened. The whole Bible is a message of enlightenment. Isn't that what this whole book is? It's a message of enlightenment. It's a message of illumination, so that we may know the origin of man, man's purpose on the earth, his future state, so that we might know God, his character, his will for man, his salvation through Jesus Christ, and the hope of redemption and the judgment of the disobedient. That's all. It's a book of illumination, of enlightenment. It's not the book of ignorance. God loves men. God loves people. He wants people to know his will and his ways, so they might do his will and live in his sight in a way that is pleasing. Why? Because he wants to bless people. He wants to give them eternal life. He wants to bless them now and eternally. That's why God gives us illumination. That's why he gave us the Bible. It's his love that he gave us the truth. When we are willingly ignorant, we shut ourselves out from the love of God and what he would delight to do for us. Now, the danger for us to be willingly ignorant is very real, because we're made of the same thing of what I was talking about here. You know, we don't like our life shattered too much either. We want our life sort of nice and snug, and we can very easily fall into the same trap. The danger of being willingly ignorant is very real, and I think here's where it begins. When we get our heart set on our own agenda, that is the beginning of willing ignorance. When my desires, my ideas, my reasonings, when I get my heart set on that and close my heart to God, that's what happens. When I get my heart set on my own agenda, Then the stage is set for me to close my heart to God, to ignore what the Bible and history would teach me, and to take my own course, which takes me away from God. And usually what happens in this is there's no longer an honest study of the Bible and seeking the face of God in the decisions of life. Watch out for that. Early, when we get our hearts set on our own agenda, and we sense that we're no longer have an honest face before God and wanting His will. And I'm just going to give, this subject, I guess, would just go into, would cover so many areas. But I'm going to give some things that I felt the Lord put into my heart, some practical areas that might set our thoughts to thinking and how this applies to us today. Well, we think of a young man. He can get his heart set, and this happens sometimes. He can get his heart set on a certain young girl. And, well, his parents don't think that's wise. Preachers say she's got some needs in her life. I don't think she's going to make you a good wife. But you know, the young man's got his heart set on it. And he can become willingly ignorant of what happened to Samson when he took that course. And he can become willingly ignorant of what the Bible says about those that being often reproved and hardened their neck, will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. But that can happen, and young men have done that. They have become willingly ignorant of what happened to others in history and to truths of the scriptures because they had their heart set on this certain girl. That's just one example. Here's another one. We can get our heart set on a job because it's good pay, easy work. Well, but what about the environment? Oh, it's not that bad. I can handle that. That environment's not good. You're going to be working with worldly people. And you know, you get your heart set on that. And you ignore what happened to Israel as they rubbed shoulders with the heathen. God had warned them repeatedly what was going to happen if they rubbed shoulders with the heathen. But you know, we can become willingly ignorant. We get our heart set on something, and we can sort of lock out all the truth that God and our brethren and parents would have to teach us. And how many people have done that? They have taken the risk in willing ignorance of what happened to others, because they thought they could handle it. We could think of the young sister wanting to take nurses training. Well, it's such a good cause, and they could have 10 reasons why they ought to go into nurses training, because it's such a good thing. I mean, many opportunities to witness to patients and all this and that. But what about the environment? You know, you can become willingly ignorant about, because if I have my heart set on this thing, and there's many other jobs like that. Part of this, under this point, I guess you could think about toying with sin. We can become willingly ignorant about toying with sin. You know, I can play with this a little bit, toy with this a little bit. It's not going to hurt me. Are we willingly ignorant of what happened to David when he toyed with sin and others? Thirdly, another area is the road of compromise that ends in the world. Are we willingly ignorant of the road of compromise? Are we willingly ignorant of the fact that if you go out Holborn's Valley Road, it's going to end you out on Route 100? I mean, everybody else that goes that way and keeps on going ends up on Route 100. And you say, well, it's going to end us up somewhere else. I can go down that road, but I'm going to end up somewhere else. Impossible. But, you know, that's how we deal what history would teach us about compromise. And compromise the truth, compromise the principles, compromise for the things that for many years we have believed and stood for. I guess we call it permissiveness. You know, where is the people, where is the family, where is the church that has gone down the road of compromise and not ended up in the world? Can you show me one? I mean, it's just as sure as going down Holborn's Valley Road and ending up in 100. But somehow, you know, we can be willingly ignorant, give in here and then there to make it easier for ourselves and our children and this and that. And history is so replete with examples, and it usually begins with so many seemingly insignificant things. Here we believe is the truth. We better have good reasons for the changes we make. Yes, times to make changes, but we better have good reasons for them, and not just to make the road a little easier for us. Lot, I think, was willingly ignorant as he moved closer and closer and closer to Sodom until he found himself and his family in the world and lost to the world. The road of compromise, history would teach us many things if we would be open to it. What happens when the church lets down and lets go here and then there and then the other place? Toleration. Fourthly, parental attitudes. Here's something that we can become willingly ignorant of, the fact that parental attitudes often mushroom in children. haven't we seen this often enough, brethren and sisters, that we don't have to repeat it? That if I allow a bad attitude in my heart towards authority, whether it's the church or government or the teacher in the school or anything like that, haven't we had enough of experience? Haven't we seen enough that we must be willingly ignorant and repeat it? But we see it happens now. It's such a grieful heart. Say, well, how, you know, we have so many examples. Father develops an attitude against the church. And where do the children end up? What went wrong with my family? Back in school, the teacher didn't do it right with my son. I wonder why. Sonny doesn't grow up to respect the church and goes off and takes his own course. Willing ignorance. There's so much. We just have our eyes open. Fifthly, the threat of modern technology that link us to the pollutions of the world. This is a current issue. Those who pine for the internet. Oh, it would make it so much easier to do business. Have they shut their mind to what happened to those who've accepted TV? Is this a new threat? Don't we have any presidents? Must we be use a method of trial and error? Willing ignorance, because we have our hearts set on something. Sixthly, those getting involved in quackery and occult health practices. We've seen our relatives and our friends get drug into this kind of stuff. And yet, you know, if you stand back and take a look at that whole scenario, you say there's enough of proof about this that we don't have to get drugged. We don't have to try this. There's others that have tried it. I think of family members, my wife's side, who were all into this, who died sooner than most of the others and became obsessed to the sacrifice of spiritual interests. The last one I have here is the love of money and the things it can buy. These are things that even Jesus, you know, warned about. Must we be willingly ignorant, sacrifice our church life, sacrifice our spiritual life, sacrifice our attendance at church and spiritual involvements to get more of this stuff that we call money and all it can buy, when the Bible so clearly tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and yet it's the tendency of man to put that, to block that out of his mind, to be willingly ignorant of that fact, and go after what he wants. I guess the conclusion of this, you could add to that list. That's just points that came to my mind. Somehow, man thinks that it will be different with him. Somehow, we think it will be different for us. I think that's how people think. They think, sure, it worked that way with others, but I'm smarter than that. I know where to quit. I know, and we sort of get the idea we can get away with this. I suppose that's how everybody felt that in all of these various ways that we're willingly ignorant. Now, just closing here yet, the remedy. The remedy is the opposite of the problem, and that is a heart that pants after God. The remedy is fairly simple, really, when you think about it. A heart that pants after God. To know the will of God and to do the will of God. If we have the honest, open heart that Paul had when he fell before the Lord on the Damascus Road and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I see Paul's agenda just falling to the ground. He had no agenda anymore. There was only one desire in his heart, and that is that God would finally reveal to him the truth that he was so desperately trying to shut out of his life, and he would be willingly ignorant. Finally, he opens his heart up and says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And at that point, God could show him. And God did show him. David's testimony was, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That kind of a person seeks the face of God in earnest prayer. He studies the word of God with an open heart to learn and to do. He seeks the counsel of faithful brethren about the decisions of life. What do you think about this? You know, that's the opposite of better not ask, because I'm pretty sure that it's not going to fly, or they're not going to appreciate it, or not going to approve of it. And I'm not really going to dig into what the Bible has to all say about this, because it might give me something I don't want to hear. That's just the opposite of that. It's a heart that desires the blessing of God upon his life more than anything else. And if we have that kind of a heart, I don't think we have to fear too much the danger of being willingly ignorant, if we have that kind of a transparency. The promise of Psalm 25:9 is that the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit that would guide us into all truth. You can read those verses in John 16:13-15. Those who really want to know will not end up disappointed, because God is interested in showing us the truth today if we are not willingly ignorant. Let's kneel for prayer.